Good morning, everyone. Welcome into another episode of the Troy Farkas Show, a podcast that is not about me. It is about all of us because the 20s are a crucial time in our lives. And on this show, we navigate the highs and lows of early adulthood together. Thank you again so much for joining me. And thank you all for the tremendous feedback that I got on last week's episode with childhood friend, NBA player Kevin Huerter. Lots of views on YouTube. Lots of listens on all the podcast platforms. So grateful that people tune in to listen every week. It's still amazing that my name is on a podcast and that people listen. So I have all of you to thank for that. And I hope you guys are all doing well. If you're having a tremendous week and doing all of the things you love. One of the things that I love doing is talking to my friends. And one of those people joins me on the podcast today, a very special guest. Amanda Foster is a young woman that I met in the summer of 2019. Now, she came into my life via my other friends in Connecticut, Jake and Connor. Jake, Connor, Tessa, who's Connor's girlfriend now, and Amanda all met one crazy night in Hartford, Connecticut. Naturally, I wasn't there because I wasn't in Hartford at that specific moment, but I later came into the fold, and this kind of became the little group that we had, and Amanda and I really started to click. And when it came time to finding a place to live in June 2020, my lease was up, her lease was up. We were both living alone at that point, and we were like, we're gonna be working from home for a while. We're both kind of getting lonely doing this whole solo, not going into the office. Oh, there's a big virus going around. Oh, the world is ending. Let's move in together. We made it happen, saw a couple places. We ultimately landed on this beautiful townhouse in a good complex in Plantsville, Connecticut, which is one of my favorite places on earth. I was just there a couple weeks ago visiting, and I absolutely loved living with Amanda. I was hesitant about how it would work, but it was great. And there were so many days and nights where her and I just bonded and we talked and we did stuff. We went for walks, or we went out to eat, or we had friends over, or she and I went somewhere together, and it was so much fun. I truly enjoyed it, and it's a shame that external circumstances, jobs primarily, forced us to leave each other earlier this year, but both of our lives were, we needed to make some changes, and we were saying on our way out the door, basically, like, we wish we could take this place, this townhouse and the roommate situation together where we're going. But unfortunately, we were going to different places. So it's a shame it blew up because it was the best living situation I've ever had. And I absolutely loved living with Amanda, getting to know her. And we just vibed. No, there were no romantic relations or anything of that sort. We were just friends, but we did act like we were married. Our neighbors thought we were married. Our neighbors thought we were a couple. Everywhere we went, people thought we were a couple. So we played it up, and then we would talk around the house like, oh, honey, can you fetch me the whatever? And it was a lot of fun. And she's just such an awesome person. You're going to find out why. She's so bubbly and smiley and wants the best for everyone. So I'm really excited for you to hear it. If you want to go watch it instead, it's over on the Troy Farkas YouTube channel. So without further ado, here's my conversation with the amazing Amanda Foster. You were the best roommate I've ever had. You exceeded my expectations. I will never, for as long as I live, have a roommate that can bake like you, that has great music taste, that knows the proper times to leave me alone and let me do my thing. It was absolutely awesome. And I also must thank you, because without you, this podcast would not exist, because you so graciously lent me your walk-in closet for a couple months there and let me book time in your little closet studio there. You are one of my favorite human beings. You're the best baker on the planet and just one of the sweetest people I've ever met. So thank you for joining me, and thank you for everything else that you've done. How are you?
The flattery. I am so taken back by that. No, I'm good. Thank you for that. I'm so happy we have the chance to catch up. And you know what? I too lived alone a lot of my time. So I was, and not only did we all kind of agree, because originally it was three of us, So you not only were about to live with me, but also like quite the counterpart, Laura, who would have been quite the sidekick. So you were in for a crazy time already. But I think I was enough to handle as it was. But it did help. Baking is the key to any person's heart in my eyes. So I do think the candy nuts helped every now and then when you get stressed out. Because I know that you would come home at 3 a.m. with the peanut butter in the fridge and go to town on that. So we had ourselves a time. We truly made the most of what we were handed.
So we're all about honesty on this podcast. So I welcome anyone to come on the show and to fully criticize me. So please, right now, tell me my worst qualities as a roommate. Like, what annoyed the shit out of you? Like, it's totally fine. Let me know.
And no, I don't even think anything made me mad. You would roast me a lot. I think you roasted me a lot. You didn't initialize. You never initialized, but I'd come down and be like, man, I look terrible today. And you'd be like, yeah, you do. And I'm like, thank you, Troy. But no, I honestly think it worked out super well for us because we were both morning people. We both loved fitness. We both love health, although I will say for a while there we were not, but I think we had a lot of similar viewpoints and you didn't mind me ranting at all, which I did quite a bit. We both loved the documentaries, so like that was quite the time once we got into the
Roman Empire, baby.
Yeah, so I think that we honestly had a lot of similar qualities. I can't say like, wow, that was a terrible time. You were there for our break-in.
I was there for the break-in. You saved the day. I might not be here today had you not saved the day.
Thank God I went to Boston. Thank God I made the last minute decision to go to Boston and come home at 3 a.m. and not spend the night.
So what's the story there? Let the listeners in here. What happened?
There was a man, you know, a girl's in love. I love love. And he tells me to come to Boston. What was it? Like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night? I'm not sure. It's a 2 hour drive though, 2.5 hours. So I say, you know what? Screw it. I knew that I was planning on leaving to go back to Arizona soon. Probably would never see this man again. So I'm like, let's do it. On my way though, passing my best pal's Gemma's place. I'm like, Gemma, I know it's 10:30 at night, but like, come to Boston with me. And she's like, you know what? Why not? Same vibe, same everything. So drive to Boston. We don't even get there until like midnight. And, you know, I tell the man, okay, I'm here. 10 minutes later, we're on our way home back to Connecticut. And Gemma stays in the car. She picks me up. And then, yeah, that's when it was so crazy. And it took us, what, like a week to figure out what actually happened in our apartment. So I roll up, I park the car, and I see our front door wide open, which like, Troy, you are up at like weird hours of the night doing whatever you do. Like 3 a.m. I've seen you up, 10 p.m. I've seen you up, like truly every hour I've seen you working. So I was like, I don't know, maybe he's on a walk like he always does at 3 a.m. but then sure enough, I text you and I don't get an answer. And I'm like, weird. I call Reagan, hey, stay on the phone with me, which is like classic horror film, something I shouldn't have done. Like, let me go see what's going on. I'm walking around our place. But everything was there, you know, our TV was right there, wasn't stolen, wasn't taken. And sure enough, slowly you wake up and one thing led to another. Wanda's car broken into, and yeah, sure enough, when I pulled up, they were unlocking it and they saw my lights and bounced. And who knows what, I don't even want to think what would have happened if I did not roll up at that very, truly at that moment, because
we came to find out that the neighbors had security footage. They had some security camera. And about a week later, the neighbors welcomed me into their home and said, hey, you got to check out this footage. We found out what happened. And there was a car that was just in the picture. You could see it. And there were a couple people wearing hooded black sweatshirts, the classic robbery scene happening, the classic outfit. And you can see them going into different houses. You can't really see what they're doing. It's not that zoomed in, but you can see there's obviously something nefarious going on here. And they came into our house, didn't take anything. They stole stuff from the neighbor's car or wreaked a little havoc in the neighbor's car. And we caught them. And for the next 48 hours, we were pretty terrified. Like, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty scared. I put a baseball bat under my bed. And you know how I just love to like shadow box around the house? Like, I was ready to throw hands if need be.
No, you not only put a baseball bat, but you also had the cast iron skillet ready to go. I do remember that. And yeah, I had my pepper spray, my pocket knife under my pillow. Like, we were fully prepared to fight this man or a woman. We don't know at any day.
Yeah. So one of many great stories to come out of that time at 45 Carter, Plantsville, Connecticut, forever has my heart. That's another podcast for a different day. I want to talk about you. Amen. Because there's a lot going on in your life right now. As you referenced, home is Arizona, born and raised Gilbert, Arizona. I went there a couple months ago, had a grand old time. I love Gilbert. I see why you love Gilbert and speak so highly of it and why you hated Connecticut. I get it now. But a lot of things have been happening in your life. You were in the sports industry with me. We worked at ESPN together. That's how we met. You go back home. You think you're going to get out of the sports industry. I'm done with this. I'm going to go follow my heart, get into teaching. It's what you've always wanted to do. But then Fox Sports, ESPN's competitor, comes calling and says, hey, we've just opened up a brand new national facility in Tempe, Arizona, where Arizona State is, 20, 25 minutes away from Gilbert. So you're just like, well, all right, I can't turn this down. I have to take this. So let's put my dreams on hold. Let's do this. And then I see a photo on Instagram a couple weeks ago saying, peace out, Fox Sports. And people saying, congrats. I'm like, wait, what happened here? Amanda, take the floor. What happened?
Yeah, that was the plan. I was like, you know what? I am done with sports. Not that I don't love sports. I do. I was done with the lifestyle that sports was giving me. And I just wanted to focus my on my other passions, you know? So I came back here and I also was done with Connecticut winter. That last one was enough for me. But yeah, once I got into it, I said, you know what, if I were to get a job in sports in Arizona, I'd probably like it a lot more because at least with my time constraints, I would see my family, you know, a half hour away. It would still be fine. It wasn't. The hours still sucked. I was still overworked. And, at my old high school, this multimedia position opened up and sure enough, I didn't have to go back to school for it. It's a career technical education class. So as long as you have the experience in the field, you actually didn't even need to go back to school, which was one of my main concerns when going back to teaching. So honestly, it checked every single box and I don't know. I had to choose one or the other. And it was such a tough decision because people-wise, I made so many close friends at Fox in just that short time I was there. And a lot of whom have been helping me out a lot in this class. But multimedia and film, that is what I'm teaching 9 through 12. And I love it. The kids are so, they're just so intelligent. Honestly, I'm so impressed with how much they know and just like how much they've self-taught. Even today in After Effects, my kids were like, Miss Foster, come look at this graphic. And I'm thinking it's just going to be like a word art type of thing. And no, they were making full-on animated graphics. And I was like, whoa, like, how did you learn how to do that? And they're like, I don't know. I just started like playing around with stuff. And they're just like, it's just so intriguing to see. We have cybersecurity here too. So a lot of my kids are taking cybersecurity classes and I don't know, it's a lot more fulfilling than sports.
I want to talk about that because a criticism of today's youth is that they're online so much, they're in front of their screens so much that they don't have any people skills, that they don't know how to interact, or that they're so insular now that they can't really like think beyond a screen. They don't know how to physically communicate. Some of those criticisms are probably fair, but what this all does is give them the ability to be super creative and to be able to excel in classes like these. So would you say that the kids in your class right now are probably more far along in this skill field, for lack of a better term, than maybe you and I were just, you know, 8 years ago or so?
100%, like without a doubt. And you know what? I actually went back on my hard drive from college last night and to pull up some projects that I did to show them. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even want to show them these because their projects are better. They are so talented. And just because it's one thing after another in terms of innovation, I will say their social skills aren't what I've noticed. It's their patience. Their patience has significantly decreased. And if they don't get something right away or can't figure out an answer right away, that's when I notice they start getting angry and upset. And it makes sense because the technology that we have now is so instant and you literally have every answer in the palm of your hand now. But when I take away that, you can tell they don't know what to do.
I mean, you're not that much older than these kids. You're 24. What is it like teaching kids that you're only like 6, 7, 8 years older than?
Yeah, it's weird, especially my seniors who are like 18 and 19. Yeah. And I'm only about 6 years older than them. But I don't know. I think of it like, think back to when you were 17 or 18 and to where you are now. Even though that age gap isn't that far, I think what happens in this specific age gap is so significant that it puts it apart from, let's say, I don't know, a 25 and a 30-year-old. I feel like 18 to 24 is really where you're figuring out what you like and what you don't like. It is weird for sure, but I enjoy it. I feel like, especially in this class, it's important for them to have a teacher who understands the technology that they do have in their hands, instead of maybe someone who grew up with black and white television. Like, I would say I know about what they're talking about, or, you know, they're like, add me on Snap. Like, I know what they mean. And stuff, you know, I feel like they're more willing to learn from a younger person in this type of context than an older teacher.
I can see that. Do you foresee this being, because you've changed jobs a lot. You've had several jobs in the past few years. You've lived in so many different places in the last few years, Chicago, LA, Bristol, Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut, back in Arizona. Do you think what you're doing right now, where you're doing it, is the move for a while?
I've gone back and forth in the past week about that one, because now that I am teaching, and, you know, my freshmen are saying, Ms. Foster, like, are we going to have you all 4 years? And I'm like, whoa, 4 years is a commitment, kids. But in news and in sports, like, you know how it is. Like, well, luckily I was at like bigger markets because I was working at a network, but, you know, it's pretty common for you to move year after year in news. And it's not like that here. That does terrify me. No, but I love it. I do see myself being here for a little while, at least. I will say, now that like college football is coming up and like everyone's starting to get excited, and I'm starting to see the promos, I'm like, oh, like, I miss it so much. And it's sort of like that relation to when you like quit or stop playing your like favorite sport. Like, you miss it so much, but then you like, your brain just forgets about the bad moments. At least that's for me what happened. So I forget all of the like bad times at ESPN. Yeah. And you can attest, like, I did cry a lot about it. And it's so hard to like leave that world because that's all I've known. But I love it. It's very rewarding so far. And, you know, it's only been 2 weeks, but I can already see like the changes and stuff. And I'm excited.
Yeah, you, me, Connor, Jake, Tessa, those are our friends from ESPN. We always joke about how, like, you can leave ESPN, but it never leaves you. Like, I feel like we'll somehow, some way get pulled back in someday. Totally against our will.
I do hope I get pulled back in eventually. I just hope it will be on my terms this time. And it makes sense why it was miserable for us. It's ESPN. Yeah. You can pick any single college student in the entire world and say, do you want to work here? And they'll say yes, for sure, you know, if they're in journalism. And so it makes sense, but it's quite the scary. And as you would know, because you didn't even have a job leaving, it's such a scary thing to leave something that you know and love, you know? Like, we love sports and we love talking about it, but my lifestyle has completely changed now. And I am just so excited for the future and my breaks and traveling and just doing things I want to do more of that I never had the chance to do.
So happy for you. I'm so excited for both of us and everything we've got going on, because I remember beginning in January, we're essentially crying on the floor as we're like, all right, we've decided that we're leaving. We don't have jobs lined up. We're moving out of Connecticut. I literally don't know where I'm going to live, like what state I'm going to be in. You're going back home, don't know what you're doing. And we're like, are we making a big mistake? Should we not be doing this? I was freaking out in the moment.
We both were freaking out. And I specifically remember stepping in on the day that I was telling my manager, putting in my 2 weeks, and I text you saying, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And I remember sending that text to you, and you were like, you do. Like, it's just the fear. Like, you do want to leave, you know? And like, we again did the pros and cons about staying. And so I put in my 2 weeks, and then I remember you sending the same message to me when you did the same thing. And you're like, I don't want to leave. I don't think I want to. And I was like, you do it right now, or I'm sending it for you. And I am so happy with how both of our lives, we got lucky. Like, we really did get lucky, but you know, I'm happy with how both of our lives have panned out since. Like, we've done a lot since January. It's crazy to think that hasn't even been a year yet.
I know. And I'm not sure if either of us would have taken that big step without one another's support. So
honestly, no. Yeah, I don't think I would have.
Very thankful for that. Thankful for you. I want to talk about Arizona because I was introduced to your homeland a couple months ago as I've been bouncing around the country. Now, I didn't think much of Arizona before I had been there. I just assumed it was desolate desert, like so hot that you can't go outside, which is true in the summer, but it was beautiful. I mean, the mountains are everywhere. I didn't realize it was mountainous as it was. And they're a different kind of mountains than the ones that I've always known in the Northeast. They're just different. And there's just a lot of cool towns and cities and lots of great Mexican food and a bunch to do. And I loved Gilbert, Arizona. And you speak so highly of Arizona. And I didn't really believe it was so great until I actually went. It is that great. Can you just kind of describe for me what life growing up in Gilbert, Arizona was like?
Gilbert has changed so much. And luckily you saw downtown, which is my favorite part, and how downtown hasn't really changed. Like, restaurant wise, they've kind of upscaled everything, but like the look and the feel is still very old. But yeah, it was an old farming town. It was the old hay capital of the country. And so, you know, growing up, I was around a whole bunch of farms. And even growing up, you know, I raised pigs for money as like a young teen and stuff. And it was just such a good time. And even now that it's expanded, just, I mean, we have so many people. I think it was like the third or fifth most growing city in the country last year. But you really do still get that small town feel, and everyone here is just so friendly. You know, that's the biggest thing that I miss is like going into the grocery store and, you know, everyone says sorry here, which sorry is looked at as like some negative, like weak thing. I feel like people are like, don't say sorry, it makes you look weak. But no, like it's just a friendly gesture here. You know, even if you don't know someone walking down the aisle, you'll be like, oh, hey, like, how's it going? And yeah, growing up was just great here. Lots of friends, lots to do. As you saw, there's just so much to do. And I think that we get like bits and pieces of America, like the great parts of each of them. And then that's what Arizona is. And you're so close to everything too. Yeah. You know, we did day trips to Mexico or Vegas or California, and flights are super easy and quick to hop on. And I love the family feel.
Yeah. I love the way that you speak about Arizona. I got to know, and the listeners of this podcast who are predominantly from the Northeast that don't understand the way you grew up, you got to tell me more about this raising pigs thing and how you went to cow camps in the summer. I got to know what all that was about.
Well, I feel like everyone has heard of like 4-H and FFA, you know? So it really was like Future Farmers of America, and 4-H is the smaller program of that when you're not in high school. So you would buy a baby pig and, you know, raise it. You learn what quality food is, how to make quality meat, and, you know, take care of the animal as you would anything else. And you would go to shows. There's showmanship and then there's market. So showmanship, you would honestly train your pig. Like, I would have to walk my pig like 15 times. It sounds crazy, but I swear, you know, we'd walk them 15, 20 minutes a day to train them, and you'd tap them with a stick on the right to go left and left to go right. And then the craziest part is like learning how to shave them. It's like, maybe this is why I'm into bodybuilding. I don't know, but you learn how to make their muscles look better for the market. So shaving them, oiling them up before show. How their stance should be. And then once they're up at their weight, which I think is like around 240 pounds, you take them to the state fair and you auction them off to whoever wants to buy that quality. They know that you took care of this animal. It looks good. You know, you can tell, and you can make some good money off of it. You know, like a lot of times they go for $24 a pound, but you have a 240 pound pig for a 13-year-old. Like, that's quite a bit of money. And it was such a good learning experience about, you know, responsibility and taking care of it. And, you know, really just like the meat process in general, I feel like, especially now, like there's a lot of hate towards, but this was showing how it's supposed to be done correctly.
You think I can pick up chicks if I take my pig out for a walk in Portsmouth?
Get yourself a mini pig. That's like the new trend. Absolutely. Yeah. Put it on a leash and they'll go crazy.
Oh, that's so funny. We'll talk more about dating and girls in a moment here, but I want to ask you about, you mentioned this bodybuilding. So this is something that I've never really met a bodybuilder or someone who aspires to be in a bodybuilding contest. You say it's quite popular where you're from and that a lot of your friends do it and that your brother does it. So can you just kind of explain to me why you wanted to get into this? And I know it's been a long process, years in the making, the pandemic complicated things, your moves across the country have complicated things. What has this journey been like? Where are you on said journey?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can talk about this for like ever. You know that. I think I got into it just being a gymnast. I would lift a lot and going to the gym with my dad and brother growing up. I would lift a lot. And the older I got, the more I noticed that I was lifting quite a bit more than the other females. And actually quite recently, as of about 2 weeks ago, I found out that I have PCOS, which is, I would say like an under-researched disease that you don't really know about yet. But what it does is you actually have super high levels of testosterone in your body. And so this whole time I'm wondering like why I'm lifting a lot more. Like my stature is really good for figure, which is one of the categories in bodybuilding, and it kind of makes sense now with this PCOS diagnosis. But my brother started getting into it, and it just like pushes you a lot mentally. And yes, I'm strong, I'm naturally very strong, but mentally the discipline is where I lack. And bodybuilding, you have to be 100% disciplined, and you've kind of seen that when I started this really hard in November. You know, I went from, I mean, quite honestly, drinking like every night to not at all. You know, even on New Year's, I think I had the single sip when we gave our toast. You really have to be 100% disciplined. And that's what I love about it. And that's why I think it's so special, because not everyone can do it, truly that. And, you know, waking up and doing fasted cardio, going to work, and then going back to the gym for another 2 hour lift, while also making sure all of your meals are perfectly measured, you know, grams or ounces, and also getting all your water in and vitamins and supplements. Like it is, it's like a second job, truly. Yeah. And I just think it's really special for the people who do it. So like I said, yeah, I'm kind of, the pandemic and the moves kind of put a wrench in everything. So I was on what we call prep. So we have prep and we have off season in bodybuilding. So prep is when you're cutting down for a specific competition. That's when you slowly lower calories, you ramp up cardio, you're getting lean. And then our off season is when, you know, you're at your healthier state, you're eating a lot more, you're doing less cardio, you're getting your like heavy lifts and building muscle. So in November is when I started my prep for a show that I was doing in June. Yeah, I stuck to it, but slowly we kept dropping calories, adding cardio, dropping calories, adding cardio. Bodybuilding, I think people get bodybuilding and health confused. And I'll dive into like a little bit of that after I finish the story, I guess. But so my health was kind of diminishing, obviously, as your body gets more and more under this stress and pressure of cutting down. And we weren't sure why I wasn't cutting down. And this is like the frustrating part of bodybuilding, is you really never know how your body's going to react to everything. So I decided to pull out of the competition about a month beforehand, because I wasn't going to step on stage not looking my best. And I knew I wasn't going to look my best at this point. I wanted to get healthy, wanted to repair my metabolism again. And then that's when I got my blood work back. And we did some like ultrasounds too. We just knew something was going on. And then that's when I got this PCOS diagnosis, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And you get it. It's very hard for women to lose weight with it. For some reason, your body really, it's almost like being diabetic. Your body doesn't metabolize carbs as well as other people. It's a metabolism disorder. So it makes a lot more sense why I was working so much harder than, let's say, my brother, who, for example, he just had his last show 2 weeks ago. And he was eating, he didn't do one bit of cardio. And he had like a cheat meal up until the week before his show. Where for me, I had my one cheat meal in December, and then it wasn't until April that I had another. So
and this is something that PCOS is something you've always had or recently developed?
Yeah, no. So you do always have it, but it goes undiagnosed a lot of times because the symptoms are so similar to other things. Like fatigue is a big symptom, but I'm in my 20s. I work really weird hours in sports. You know, like caffeine consumption doesn't always work because you you got me on the coffee train.
Oh, I know. You're welcome.
Yeah, a lot of symptoms are just misled as something else. So it wasn't until I finally got like a full panel and they actually had to do like an ultrasound to see the cysts in my body that I was finally diagnosed with it, which I'm super happy that I was. It's pretty much like the worst thing that a bodybuilder could want, a female bodybuilder could want, because it really, really, really is hard to lose fat from it. But it doesn't make it impossible. So hopefully right now I'm in my repair phase or my maintenance phase, and we're going to try to grow a little bit more and just get my body back to healthier levels, and then we'll see. But I'm guessing next summer is when I'll probably do my next show. I want to enjoy my holidays. Yeah. And, you know, I had to miss out on all of that last year. So I want to enjoy my holidays, enjoy my birthday.
Yeah, because I was wondering, because what is it, how hard is it for you? Because it takes extreme discipline. And, you know, when your friends are going out or there's some special occasion, there's always a special occasion of some sort, and you just kind of got to chill on the sidelines and can't have as much fun as you would like to.
Yeah, at first it was really, really hard, you know, especially that first like half hour where everyone's pre-gaming and getting in and they're like, come on, take a shot with me. It was really, really hard. But honestly, when you learn who your true friends are, the ones who are like, come on, like, don't be like that. Like, just drink. It's not that serious. Like, those are not the people who I want to really associate myself with. Or they're the people who are like, oh, I wish you could really drink, but like, good for you. Like, don't have another sip. Like, if I see you, I'm going to be upset. Like, those are the people who I want to surround myself with. And now, you know, luckily, like, my friends' schedules are kind of crazy too. I really don't go out too much, especially because I'm so new to teaching, but it is hard, but it's worth it in the end. Yeah. Yeah. And quite honestly, my bank account has thanked me for the lack of drinking that I have done.
I got to hand it to you. I was so impressed because it is like a second job. You are meal prepping for 5 days in advance, chicken, rice, broccoli, repeat, 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 and just being very diligent about it. And so I commend you for it. Like, I think I'm disciplined, but you take it to a whole new level. So much respect to you on that.
You are disciplined. You are very disciplined, Troy. Everyone who knows you, the top three, if they had to name three characteristics, one of them would be health, you know. But I think that's what I was kind of getting into when people think bodybuilding and they think health. Those aren't the same. They're not the same thing, because quite honestly, bodybuilding at a certain point is unhealthy. You know, once you get down to that 4 to 8 weeks before your show, it's unhealthy body fat levels. And, you know, especially for females, your metabolism really gets destroyed from it. And, you know, yes, we eat healthy, but the pressure that we're putting our bodies under is not. And, you know, you're healthy though. Like, you eat whole foods, you get your greens, you get your fats, carbs, protein. And we do too, but you just live a more, more livable, maintainable,
just more well-rounded, maintainable. Yeah, like, I, you know, people say, oh, I'm going on a diet, I'm gonna do this and this, cut out this. Like, I don't diet, it's just my life. No. Like,
and you shouldn't diet. I hate that word.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I just
maintainable health is a great word I would use.
Yeah. So it was another reason why it worked out living with you. All right. So you are so good in the dating game. And I mean that in a complimentary way. Like, guys just love you. You're so good with words. You know how to work a room. Like, you know everything. You're so good at it. And I admire you for that. I've seen you out in public and just like, you have a way with words. You have a way with guys. So I'm envious of you, because I'm now trying to, not that I want guys, but I'm trying to in this next phase of my life here. I've been out of the dating game for a while. You know all about this. Hasn't been my thing, but I think when I move here to New Hampshire next month, that I wanna get back into it. I think I'm about ready for it. So I know the dating app scene is the way to go these days. It's not my preference, but it's just kind of a necessary evil these days. So I want you to help me build the best Hinge profile that I can that would set me up well. Obviously, there's Tinder, Bumble, a couple other ones. I've surveyed around. Hinge seems to be the one that people like the most, that people have the most success on. So we're going to roll with Hinge. So I guess I just want to ask broadly, what is the most important thing on Hinge for a guy to get right? Like, what pulls you in as a female?
Not trying too hard. Like, plain and simple, not trying too hard. And I think that's, like, the cliche. I'll download Hinge, right? Maybe we can make our profile together. You know what? It's so funny that you say that, because me and my best friends actually started coming up with a list of cringy things that guys do on dating apps. And it's just, like, yeah, I mean, it's like, well, you can't see, but it's, like, quite the list. The whole... like, name one word to describe, like, I don't know, posting pics of cars. Some girls hate the fish pic. I don't know, maybe because I'm like a country girl, but I know some girls hate that. What are some, when you ask the questions, when Hinge asks the questions, there's some of them that it's just like every guy says the same thing to. So I think it's being different, but not going out of your way, try hard different, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about the photos, because that's obviously an important thing. True or false, it's okay to have a photo with other people?
Yes. Here's my ideal dating setup. First photo of yourself that someone else took, okay? So, like, not from an event. So, like, not a graduation, not a wedding. It shouldn't be a group photo. I should know exactly who you are and have the image be clear from the start. Second photo, I think is really important that you have with your friends or your, you know, I would say more than another person, like a group of guys, because then it's like, wow, okay, this person is social. He has guy friends, like, he's more normal. No pictures. If you have a photo of a girl and you, like, scribble the girl out, absolutely not. Like, why would you do that?
Okay, so let me ask about that. So, as you know, I have way more girlfriends than guy friends. And all of these girlfriends, it's completely unromantic. Obviously, a random stranger doesn't know that. So is it okay to post a photo with another girl, even though it's strictly platonic?
If it was just one girl, maybe as, like, your last photo, yeah. And I don't even think that it would be any girl being like, oh, that's his girlfriend, because hopefully you wouldn't be on the app if you had a girlfriend. That's not the case for everyone. But I think it would still just kind of be like, ooh, like, who is that? Like, girls are just kind of crazy. It's our curiosity starts, you know, make it your last one. Don't make it a priority one, though.
Gotcha. Okay. And then there's, of course, all of the little specifics about, you know, you should put your height, you should put what you're interested in. You know, the section I'm talking about, like religion, drugs, like political beliefs. Is there anything in there that I should just completely stay away from that you think?
No, I think that one's a pretty safe one, because honestly, a lot of the times, like, I don't have Hinge right now, but when I did, I looked at that section a lot. Not that it was a deal breaker, but as a Catholic Republican, if I saw someone was an atheist liberal, I automatically kind of knew, even if we were, you know, friendly towards each other, it probably wouldn't work out long term. Yeah. You know, we just have completely different beliefs, which probably two different lifestyles then too. So I think it's honestly important to put that. You should put a photo of, like, activity. So maybe you hiking, you on a mountain, you know, that's what you love doing. So that would be like a good third photo. So establishing photo, friends photo, activity photo. Okay. Then if you have, like, family or a dog or, you know, something like a little extra, that's a good one for, like, okay, the fourth and the fifth.
Love that. That's doable. Now, I don't take selfies, so this doesn't apply to me, but for general public, like, no selfies in there, right?
No, selfies are just not ideal. The selfies, the scratching out of other people in the photo, the mirror pic, this one.
Oh, gosh. I haven't taken a mirror pic since seventh grade.
You would be surprised, Troy.
Really
be surprised.
Why?
Yes.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know, but me and Gemma want to make this like a business, because I'm not kidding you. If I just start swiping through profiles, it's like cringy. And you know what? We all know the Finsta. I'm going to hit the Finsta, because I know for a fact that I do have some posts saved, because I sometimes can't believe my eyes and I feel bad for these men, you know, but I don't know. I just want to know what goes through their brain to think that it's okay. You know what? You should talk to Reagan too, because she just got on it in St. Louis. And...
Oh, fantastic. I actually want to have Reagan on the pod. This is your best friend. She seems to be a very fascinating person, and I would like to get to know her.
She is quite the fascinating gal for sure. Okay. This is an example of a bad profile, just an unnecessary profile. This is Jake. He's 27 years old. I'm not sure what city I was in. I once lost a needle in a haystack and found it. Every day is my lucky day. I have a bachelor's degree in hugging and a master's in cuddling.
Sick, bro.
This is a huge one. Cuddles, kisses, doggos, humans with the double O. Do not. Don't say boops. The dog boops or the snoots. No, none of those words. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're saying right now. No.
Oh, okay. It's like a lot of things with like dogs. Like people will say like, oh, that's such a cute doggo. Or like, let's give them a nose boop. I don't know why. That's like an instant. If you were a 10, you were a 4.
All right. So this is my Hinge profile as currently is. I haven't touched it in a while. And so I honestly have no idea when I last did this, but I'm going to go through the questions that I have up right now and you can assess.
Okay.
All right. So the first one is change my mind about, and then my answer is tacos because I don't like tacos and every girl seems to like talk about tacos on Hinge. So it's kind of a strategic
question.
Most girls like tacos. Here's an excuse for you to like talk to me to tell me I'm wrong about tacos.
I think tacos is acceptable, but for everyone else, the classic answer that I always see for that one is pineapple on pizza. That's overdone. Changed my mind about pineapple on pizza. Overdone. I think tacos is fine because I'm like, wait, what? Like, what do you have against tacos?
I like tacos. I just think they're vastly overhyped. So I think it can be a conversation starter, perhaps.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll know it's time to delete Hinge when I find a girl who loves morning coffee as much as me. Is that too cringy? Because I mean that, but are these answers supposed to be funny or serious?
No, I think that one's kind of cute. You love coffee. See, like, that's the thing. If it was just some guy who actually doesn't like coffee, I would say, like, no, absolutely not. But you genuinely, like, love like, coffee, roast your own beans and everything.
Yeah.
So that's totally fair. No, I think that that's actually kind of cute. I'm impressed with that one.
Yeah, like, and you know, like sitting across from another human being having a cup of coffee is like my greatest form of intimacy. Like I love that. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
that's kind of what I was going for.
Example for wrong answer for that one is I know it's time to delete Hinge when I found my future ex-wife. I see that one a lot. Yeah, that one's just overdone and just like not funny anymore.
Yeah, that's not funny. I wouldn't do that. And then this one, I don't really know what a simp is, but I feel like this might be a simp answer. So a social cause I care about. And I mean this, but it kind of sounds like I'm sucking up. Treating women with respect and dignity, which I believe in, but that kind of sounds like lame, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like the try hard route, in my opinion. Yeah. Like I would just read it and be like, do you have some ulterior motives here? Like, gotcha. I don't know, which I know you're genuine, but
yeah. Yeah.
I would change that to an activity or... Like, I forget what the other questions are, but maybe something about what you like to do for fun or something.
Okay,
like,
let's change it on the fly here. Let's see how I do this. First round is on me if.
For you, Troy?
Yeah, for me.
First round is on me if it's Fireball. That's a good one for you.
Yes, let's go. Changing the profile right now. Fireball.
I'm trying. Yeah, that says a lot about your personality.
Okay, well... I will finish building out this profile. I will take it to New Hampshire with me. I'll give you a status report, a weekly status report to see how I'm doing. And then once you actually get into a conversation, you've baited a young woman in, you've matched whatever, then what? Because I hate the artificial forced conversation that all of this is. Like, you know, I like conversing with people. Because I think I've struggled in the past on dating apps because, like, I want to skip all the steps, like all the talking over texting. I'm like, all right, we've exchanged 3 messages. Let's meet in person because I don't want to do this.
Okay. Yeah. So the best way, I think, girls are just very cautious because we don't like serial killers. Right. And you just never know. You know? So I think you're on the right path, though. And get the bait, get off the app as quick as you can, like get each other's numbers or Instagram, like as quick as you can. And then from there, as a guy, you should say, hey, are you free Thursday night? We should do this at this time if you're free. Like, we need to know what time, when, where. Perfect example, some guy on Saturday asked me out. I said, okay. He said, let's do like roughly 9 o'clock. I'm like, all right. He lives a half hour away. So at like 8:45, I was like, I'll be respectful of his time and leave now because he lives so far. Got there, 9:15, ask him where he's at. He says, oh, I just started getting ready right now. I'll be another half hour. Immediately, that's going to be a no from me.
Yeah.
But then he calls me 15 minutes later and says, so what do you want to do?
Mm.
It's around 9:30 at night on a Saturday. I'm a female. And I mean, I'm old school, though. You know that. You're like, you should make all the plans. And girls don't like making decisions. We're indecisive creatures.
Right.
So if you can tell us what time, where, and just ask politely if you're free, then that's the most success, I think.
Yeah, you never want to ask like, oh, I don't know, what do you want to do? It's better if you come at them, whether you think they'll like it or not, just come at them with a plan and all the specifics so that they don't have to think, just tell them, hey, show up at this time and we'll have a good time.
100% and ask them a million questions when you meet up because girls like talking about themselves.
For sure. Okay. Noted.
Even if they say they don't.
I'm excited to take this advice and let you know how it goes. Amanda, thank you so much for joining me. I wish you all the best of luck with this teaching job, that you still like it in 3 weeks, that your body's doing well, that you're not dying in the Arizona heat. And I wish nothing but happiness for you. You are awesome. And I know we're on opposite sides of the country, but I'm excited for whatever this is in the future.
I'm excited when I end up on the East Coast again, for sure. Thanks for having me.
That's my girl, Amanda. Thank you, Amanda, for helping me build the perfect Hinge profile. I'll keep you updated on the progress there. And thank you for joining me from the school that you are now teaching at. For those of you listening, you cannot see that, but she was joining from her school. And I remember so many kitchen conversations where we were talking about our careers and our paths and our futures, which is what all of us are so concerned about all the time. And teaching was a thing that she had done before she got to ESPN. She was doing some teaching and she had gotten almost through a fifth year program or a master's degree, didn't finish it in Arizona the way that the teaching standards are. She didn't need a teaching degree. Her experience, as she said, was good enough. And I'm so happy for her because this was the thing that she knew she was going to do at some point. She was just kind of scratching this sports media itch as well. And honestly, I can relate. The first thing that I ever wanted to do was be a teacher. I was inspired by my middle school male teacher, Mr. D, who I think we've mentioned on the show before. He made me want to be a history teacher. And that was the first thing I ever did or that I ever wanted to be. And that's why I was a history major in college. People are amazed when I tell them what I do now. And they're like, oh, what'd you study in college? I'm like, yeah, I was a U.S. history major. And they're dumbfounded by that. But I just love history and I love teaching. And I've always thought that that could be something for me. So I don't anticipate being in the business that I'm in now forever. Not at all. I've never envisioned that for myself. So I'm just kind of not in it for a long time. I'm in it for a good time. And then when that good time is over, when it's no longer fun or fulfilling for me, I do want to get into teaching. I don't know if it will shake out that way, but that's the only other thing that I've ever really wanted to do. So those are the dreams. Those are the plans. We'll see how they shake out. But I'm so happy that Amanda's getting to live out her version of her dreams right now in Arizona, where she loves. You know, I have a complicated relationship with home, my hometown. I love my hometown, love where I'm from, my school, the people, but it's just not for me. As I mentioned to Josh Rotenberg a couple weeks ago, I just feel like I want to go and do my own thing and stretch my wings and take chances elsewhere. Whereas Amanda's has done that and she's perfectly content going back home because it's her favorite place in the world. And there's nowhere else that she would rather be. So it sounds like she's happy teaching, living where she wants, doing the bodybuilding thing, which is amazing. She looks amazing. She is super disciplined. And I'm just so proud to call her a friend. And I can't wait for how our friendship will develop over time. Because I know this is one of those friendships that, like, it's not going anywhere. I can just feel it. When I went out to Arizona a couple months ago, we got together, trip to Sedona, a night out in Gilbert. She showed me around Arizona State's campus. It was great. She is hopefully a lifer, and I'm super grateful for her presence in my life and super grateful for all of you who have listened, who are reading stuff over on the TroyFarkasShow.com. I've got a lot of blogs on there recently about my interviews or about various other things that don't make it onto the podcast just because I love writing, and I've been really getting into a rhythm over the last few months, spending my mornings writing with my cup of coffee right next to me. It's my favorite thing in the world. I love the solace of the morning and writing and not being bothered by other people and just focusing on it. So if you want to go read any of that stuff, it is over on the TroyFarkasShow.com, where we have a full archive of all the podcast episodes, blogs, all that good stuff. You can leave reviews over there of the show as well on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for everything you do. And I will have another guest next week. But until then, have a great weekend. Do what you love. Catch up with a friend. Get a cup of coffee. Do some writing. Do some self-reflecting. Play a sport. Go out on the water. I went kayaking last weekend. It was wonderful. Go hiking. Tell someone you love them. Send someone a card. Write someone a card. Whatever it is that you want to do, do whatever makes you happy. I'll be back on Monday. I'm actually going to be out in a van in the middle of the woods in the Catskill Mountains this weekend. So I'll leave you with that, and I'll tell you about it on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend, y'all. Peace out.